All right, what's up, world?
What's up?
Not much. But who am I? I am Sky, straight from Southwest Atlanta. Currently living near Beach Cabanas in the Wild Wild West. And I'm with who?
What's up, world? It's your girl, Sales VA, all day, two up, two down. Currently chilling in Los Angeles. And I'm really happy, but we'll touch on that later.
And who are we? We are Shea Butter FC, a podcast featuring two black women's perspectives on soccer, football, and everything in between.
Delivering content with soul and seasoning that'll moisturize your skin.
Lay your edges.
And deepen your love for all things black women.
This will be a short episode. So we're going to recap the NWSL, talk about our Juneteenth event, and then, I don't know, hits and riffs and stuff.
Yeah.
Rants and raves, and that'll be it.
Absolutely.
All right, for the NWSL.
So we can just give people a quick rundown of the results from last weekend. Side note, there was no Challenge Cup game this week due to the wildfires from Canada affecting the air quality in New York and New Jersey. So only regular season games were played this past week. And the first game was Spirit versus Racing in Washington, which ended in a 1-1 draw. The Cascadia rivalry, Rain versus Thorns. Thorns won 2-0. Houston versus Orlando. Houston won 2-0. Casey Current versus the North Carolina Courage ended up being a 1-0 scoreline to the Current. Gotham versus Wave in New Jersey ended up being 1-0 to the visitors, San Diego. And the final game of the week on Monday was Angel City FC versus Chicago, with Chicago winning 2-1.
Okay. So I don't know. For swaps of these games, I missed some of these in totality. But I don't know. Let's see. Houston, Orlando.
I thought they were. I got to see some of that game just because I think it was on around the same time as Cascadia. I mean, when Houston's on, they're on. It's just the consistency for them. But I think for them, and we'll talk about her in a moment, I think Michelle Alozie has come alive.
Well, I mean, that
really changed the trajectory. Let's talk about it.
She needs to start, particularly as they're trying to figure out how to do what Ordonez and Salmon and Sanchez. She's just as integral and should be playing because she was causing all kind of havoc. She's been doing that all season.
Yep.
But she should be on the field.
I mean, they will miss her. I think she is the one person on the front line who is going to the World Cup, most likely. I know Nigeria hasn't dropped their roster yet, but the assumption is, yes, she is going. She's doing a lot of what Michelle Prince usually does for Houston, who's out right now. Though we can talk about that at the end, and her being on the provisional roster. But I think she fills in that need for that team, and I think they need that kind of player at all times to really make that engine go and to be able to have somebody opposite of Maria Sanchez to really balance that pitch. And then that leaves Ordonez open, or, you know, it forces defenses to defend them differently. And it makes them a counter-attacking team, which ultimately I think Houston is. I think they're their best selves when they're on the counter and then defending and pressing. So, yeah, Houston can be a very dangerous team. I think they just have to work on consistency. So that is that. I did not get to see much of Spirit versus Rossing. But that ended 1-1. It looked like it was a really good game. I think Simbi has come alive for Racing. I know Diaspora talked about that, just really causing havoc for opposing teams. She's her speed on the ball. I think Louisville, listen, I know we've been hard on them at times, I think sometimes rightfully so, but I think that the recruitment Louisville's done might be the best in the league. Like, they've just nailed pretty much every international signing that they've had this offseason, and it's paying dividends for them after a slow start.
Yeah, and I mean, for this game, only because I only saw swaps of this game, Trinity Rodman scored immediately.
As she does, yes.
In a crazy way. So that was a fire goal. And then Savannah DeMello was...
You almost said the wrong Savannah.
No, I didn't say that. No, I was saying that it was never going to get confused. Savannah DeMello definitely caused all kind of havoc throughout that game.
Yes, and got the penalty kick as well.
So, yeah. Let's see. Who else?
So, yeah, I think that was an interesting game. I think there's a lot of battle of young talent there. And those two teams in the past few seasons, or at least last season, I think, had really good matchups. So, yeah, there's that one. I admittedly did not get to see much of Current versus Courage. It looks like, you know, it's one game. We'll see if the Current have maybe figured something out. I thought that was probably one of the shock score lines of the weekend. But again, I can't really speak to that game. I didn't get to see much of it. But the goal was scored by Kristen Hamilton, who's back, which speaks to Kansas City getting injured players back. And then we'll go over, obviously, superlatives and goals and assists in a moment. Okay, we'll do Gotham. Then,
yeah, oh, Gotham.
Gotham Wave.
Yeah. That was a weird game. Gotham should have scored multiple times.
Definitely.
And then, Wave, per usual.
Yeah, I think that was one moment of brilliance, right? From substitutions, and you could probably happy lunch. You could probably argue that, you know, Casey won the substitution battle just off of that score line. I don't particularly think Wave was better than Gotham, though I think they were smart to give Gotham possession. But yeah, I think if you play that game five times, you get,
three Gotham draws probably wins that game.
Team wins. Yeah,
I don't know. Gotham like probably that. Wins that game because there were stuff. Their shots were off. Yeah. It wasn't.
Sometimes the answer is football, and I will give San Diego this: they win the games they shouldn't win.
Yeah. So
they've done that a few times.
That was one of
those. They've also lost games they should have won, but they tend to smash and grab, for lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to talk about your rain and thorns?
I'm getting to that because our teams both had not great weekends, so I'm getting there.
This has been a constant theme for my team, but yes.
So speaking of teams that played well in just football, obviously Cascadia rivalry happened in Seattle. Portland won 2-0. They scored, Sophia Smith scored early, ending her, quote, goal drop. That one pissed me off because no defender stepped, and I was just like, we're just gonna let that ride. Alright, that's fine.
They said they want to give Sophia...
Somehow there were like four or five blue shirts around her, but nobody was actually defending. I don't know what happened there. And then they scored very late with a Christine Sinclair goal. So the petty part of me is they had one since 2018, so I guess we were feeling generous. But I also don't think we played poorly, but we have that problem that we often have, depending on the game, which is we just can't score goals.
Yeah.
Like, we forgot how to score in this game, and I think if we had remembered, it's at least a draw. I know Hoytema missed a sitter, and Z's, I mean, and there were some good saves from Kayla, wrong goalkeeper. There were some good saves from Bixby, too, but just we were off. We were off with all of our shots. Yeah, but I thought we played well. I thought, you know, save for not defending a Sophia Smith shot, that she placed well. And Fallon got screened on that, too, a little bit, I think. Which was the point. Sophia set it up that way. I don't think we played horribly. I thought Fallon actually made some really good saves, because it probably could have been a little worse. And I thought we contained their midfield fairly well, and some of what they do, particularly Crystal Dunn and Sophia Smith, you know, Olivia Moultrie link up. I actually thought we did a pretty good job against Morgan Weaver as well, save for that very late goal. So I don't love losing to Portland, but I didn't feel as bad about it as I normally would. But it's also been a while since we lost to Portland, so.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll see them again, and we'll see them again in the Challenge Cup twice. So it is what it is, but, you know, bounce back next week against Kansas City. Let's see what happens.
Okay. All right. And then Angel City played Chicago, and they lost 2-1. So, I mean, we kind of joked that this could potentially happen. You didn't think it would actually happen, but yeah. Chicago smashed and grabbed, and then smashed and grabbed again. Abel Cook showed up for Juneteenth night. Shout out to sister Abel Cook.
Shout out to Jake, man. That was fun. That was funny, dude.
That's a funny meme. But then also, the legend returned. Sydney LaRue came in.
Yeah.
That place
was dead, too.
Yeah, it was dead. Okay, so, yeah. You saw the lineup. I mean, the front line was okay. It's really the midfield. The midfield was the issue because it was like, so Julie and Lily are going to, you know, collectively be sixes because Lily is not a attacking midfielder. So is Savannah supplying the front line? This is going to be interesting. And yeah, it was interesting. They really couldn't move. And Casey Krueger was Casey Kruegering. Effectively had shut down Alyssa wasn't in there yet, but Casey Krueger was doing what she do, and they really couldn't get movement to go attack. And then they had mental lapses, so they didn't cover a set piece, and then in the other one they didn't step to Ava when she got the ball and she had a brace. And so yeah, place was dead until Sydney popped in with Alyssa, and then you were reminded why Sydney LaRue is Sydney freaking
we'll talk about that in a few moments, but
she came through, and it was funny. Sydney almost scored when she, because it took them like 5 minutes to get
right first touch.
It took them like 5 minutes to get the ball, to switch the ball, and that's a whole nother rant we could have for another time.
Yeah,
but when finally Sydney got a touch on the ball, she almost scored. And for that reason, Casey Krueger had to leave. And it happened. Well, she almost scored again, actually, a little afterwards, too. And Casey Krueger had to leave Alyssa alone. And that's how Alyssa ended up getting the ball and running up forward. Because Casey had to deal with Sydney, because Sydney was up here taking bodies, dragging bodies. But still, she wasn't able to stop her on the goal. That was bomb. I think
there were a few things just from my observations, right? And it's interesting, having access to cover a team that isn't my team. So I watch football differently. One, if I see the ball go to the right side on the sideline, and you either pass it back to Allie Riley, pass it off to Julie Ertz to get it back, or if you're lucky, hit the right pass to Claire Emsley. If I have to see the same play one more game, I'm going to scream. I can defend that at this point. I could literally step on the pitch with one good knee and defend that, because it's the most predictable thing in the NWSL right now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm being very sincere. So that's one. Like, you gotta have a plan B and C. Like, why your coach or whoever's coming up with these tactics thinks that's gonna work at this point in the season? I don't get it.
Because she keeps trying to pass through the same player.
Player who is not actually your ball carrier. You don't actually have a ball carrier, if you want me to be really honest with you.
Well,
and so you'd be better off letting your forwards carry.
That's what I'm saying. I would be like, why not use Scarlett Kimbrough's, give her the ball, somebody to do that?
Hell, I'd let Katie Johnson carry it, and I don't necessarily think that's
her. Yeah. Anything.
So that's one. I'm just like, that's one. Two, as somebody who had not had the privilege, just because timing was always off, of seeing Casey Krueger play in person.
Really? You didn't see her? Okay.
I had never seen her live.
Okay.
Timing just didn't work. If she's not on that plane, I know something.
No, you gotta fight.
Like, that's the best, certainly outside back 1v1 defender we have in this country, right? You can make a case for Garmin Gordon. And all the things they said she wasn't good at, she's actually improved.
Right.
But that is the first time I've seen one defender, and Naomi Garmin's played against y'all already. That's the one time I've seen one defender be able to make Alyssa Thompson think about it.
Yeah.
Right? And be like, maybe I should go the other way.
Yeah.
And that's been Casey's MO for a while in this league, by the way.
Yeah.
She is probably our best 1v1 defender. And yeah, so that was really interesting. But she, despite Chicago's record or anything else, has been phenomenal since returning from both injury and childbirth. Mm-hmm. And I know we focus on a lot of other moms in this league, and I think that's great. I think we're not talking enough about Casey Kruger.
Yeah, Casey
Kruger, that ability to bounce back and be maybe better than she was.
I think that's kind of lost in the disaster class that was Monday.
Yeah,
because Casey Kruger had shut down everything, so they couldn't go anywhere. Yeah.
She was everywhere. She was everywhere.
Shutting it down. And so even like again, Casey literally almost stopped Sydney from scoring. So, but Casey literally, only reason Alyssa was able to get the ball is because she came off of Casey to deal with Sydney crashing the box like that.
Right.
And almost still got it. But
Sid just beat her. Like, let's be very real. Yeah. And that's because Sid LaRue's strong enough to beat her.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. But I was like, because
they went to the ground, Sid just got there first.
Yeah, I was like, why is Casey Kruger in center back position? But then, yes, I understand, but that ain't her fault. Black on that ain't her fault. Don't be holding that against her.
Nothing got by her. Like, it was one of the best. And again, I watched Sarah Gordon play most weeks, right, in person. Nothing got by Casey Kruger. Like, nothing.
She shut everything.
It was just a really, it's one of the better defensive performances I've seen in person. So there's that. Again, it's somebody from the outside looking in. Something ain't clicking in that locker room. Those players are not.
Yeah, they're not playing.
Like, they're playing for that coach.
Yeah, it is real. Because it's like, you saw people with urgency. You saw people not with urgency. And then they weren't playing, like, united. And, like, for real, it was super dead. It was, you had people on the Jumbotron not paying attention. You can't have that at a soccer game.
Right. And again, I don't think Chicago played exceptional football. I think Chicago knew what they came to do and did it.
Yeah, they did.
And I think they were very, very, very efficient, right? I think they had only 2 shots on target.
Right.
They made both of them. They took advantage of a dead ball situation and essentially putting it in the mixer and it not getting cleared. Like, it was 2 passes on your defense's part or whoever was supposed to mark Cook. I saw the first goal coming before.
Well, yes, me too.
Because no one was marking
it. Yeah, nobody was marking her. It was her. And so they didn't mark her, and they didn't mark somebody else. And I was like, that's gonna be a score. And the problem is the same thing keeps happening week after week.
Yeah.
Like
there's no adjustment.
Yeah,
I would argue there's regression, right? Because had that run where like, y'all played really well against Portland, and you played well against North Carolina. You played well against. I thought you outplayed San Diego, right? Like, and I honestly, Casey Stoney said the same thing. She's like, basically, it's a smash and grab. We didn't deserve to win, but we'll take it.
But they lost. But end up how they ended up losing or getting goal scored on. It was the same thing. It's the same.
Precision, like, I literally,
it's the same decision in the same portion of the box. Like, I can literally probably name 10 ways.
Yeah, you're right.
It's literally the same thing in the same portion of the box.
Same
for
goal
each goals, it's the same goals, and it's
same
like
side of the point.
At the same, at what point is it going to get addressed? Because this keep happening to every, whether it's a good team, bad team. These mental lapses end up causing them to drop points or lose games because it's not coming together. And what they said on Diaspora United, when has Angel City played a full 90?
Right. They have one good half in them. It seems every match, and I'm like, that's coaching.
That's
like
coaching. That's coaching.
Yeah. That's a coaching thing, right? I don't even think it's a culture thing, because I think those players like each other. Like, I don't think they wouldn't play for each other. And even if it is the players, in American sports, that's not how that works, right? You can't fire your players.
Right.
So it's the coach, whether it's fair or not. I would argue it's probably fair at this moment, because the things that aren't changing are definitely things I would say, ooh, that's down to coaching.
Yeah, it's a technical thing.
And if you look around the league and at the coaches in it, if you were to rank them,
are you gonna do this?
I'm not saying where your coach would land. I don't think it's real high.
Yeah.
And I'm not counting the interim, because there's an interim coach in the league. Like,
there's
some I just don't know enough about. But like,
because even from the thing about it being stuck on the right side of the pitch.
God,
that comes back to a player. It's coming back to a player, and literally, in the fact that like we were talking about on that game, when you knew you were playing Chicago and they had no way to attack, so they're really gonna like and right. do what they can midfield wise, defensively, because they got effectively parked the bus. Why wouldn't you put McKenzie in attack? Put McKenzie Pluck on the field.
They did nothing. I watched Chicago, especially in the second half, because their goal is closer to the press side in the second half. There's nothing in the run of play from them. Nothing. For the past 2 weeks, they've scored their goals basically on dead ball / throwing it in the mixer. Like, they don't play through their midfield because they don't have one. Their midfield went to all the other teams in the league.
So, yeah, why would you play into their hand? And then, two, I'm sorry, you have to start Alyssa Thompson, or if you must sit her for whatever reason, you then bring her in at the beginning of the second half. Like, you don't
because you got 20, 25 minutes. You got 10 minutes of LaRue and Thompson, and it got you a goal. And that's with the two of them. The issue is time. The issue is, one, what are you going to do about the coach? Because I think the noise is very loud right now.
Yes, it's
bad. I'm not saying anything that ain't been all over the timeline or everything else. It's not like Angel sitting in hearing that noise. One. So, one, it's going to be about the coach and the timing. But in terms of timing, two, how soon do you get press back?
Right.
Because what I can say to you is, you got those three up top, might not matter.
Yeah, it won't matter. Yeah. Yeah, because
because you can't defend all three of them.
Because even Chicago's defense is incredible. They just don't have a goal scorer, so they're having to park the bus all game and dying. Right. Where they literally melted when Sydney and Alyssa had time to link up and figure it out. So, yeah, you add Kristen, Casey Kruger can't cover Kristen, Sydney, and Alyssa.
No one can.
Nobody can. So that's what I'm saying. That's where it's going to cause defenses to melt. So yeah, that could, but his question is, when she going to come?
Yeah. But, so it's, I mean, well, we'll talk about that in a minute, but I mean, there might be signs of it sooner rather than later. But yeah, I'm tired of seeing the same thing. And again, that's not my team. So I know y'all are deeply frustrated. But we'll see. And somebody's coming after the World Cup too. So
yeah.
Oh yeah, that's Omri definitely a cultural thing. Yeah,
Mandy is about to be like.
I don't think that's gonna mesh. I don't think that's gonna mesh. I'm just putting that out there.
Mandy's gonna be like, "What are you doing?"
Mandy is very much I mean, she's a good person off the pitch by all accounts, but I'm just like, Mandy's energy is very much is her and me. Like, you make choices. And Mandy signed a 3-year contract. So,
yeah, you're going to have to figure it out. I don't know. You got to figure that out.
She was retiring in this league at this point.
It was an interesting week in the NWSL. The black players balled.
Yes. So, just to do a quick rundown of both Shea Butter Dimes and Shea Butter Bombs. So, Shea Butter Bombs from Trinity Rodman, Sophia Smith, Michelle Alozi, and the GOAT on her comeback, Sydney LaRue. And then we had Shea Butter Dimes from Davinia, Jaden Shaw, and Alyssa Thompson with her first NWSL assist.
Yes, because that was the assist that happened before was in a not actual NWSL game.
I didn't know that. I genuinely thought she had
assist. Yeah, I thought she had assist. But I think, the one that should have been assist got called back. That's what it was.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's what it was.
And it also, Shea Butter Bricks. Casey Kruger.
I mean, yes.
Shit.
Casey Kruger played well. Okay. I know she's not a defender. But go watch. Okay. If you watch nothing else this weekend, go watch the clip of Lynn Williams tracking back against Alex Morgan. EA Sports. Y'all need to fix some shit. Don't play in my face.
Yo, Alex got mad. I would have pushed.
Not only did she catch her, she passed her.
She passed her and took the ball off her. I would have pushed her.
Don't actually think Lynn was at full sprint. I really don't.
Nah, she wasn't. Nah.
That was a casual sprint for Lynn.
That was a casual sprint. That wasn't the full tilt. She took.
And then Alex tried to go wide.
Yeah.
Thinking the angle would help her. I was like, oh no, that's not. Yeah. That doesn't matter. So yeah, I thought. Oh, every once in a while, Lynn Williams just likes to remind us she's fast as fuck.
Also from some Shea Butter Scurries, Abby Smith, for sure.
She's been really good.
Yes.
She had a shaky start to the season. Yeah. She's been really good.
But she had some awesome saves in that game.
Yes.
And then Wait, didn't
Fallon had a few great saves.
Yeah, Fallon had a pretty good save, some pretty good saves. Because Sophia Smith could have got another one.
Yeah.
And then, wait, other bricks. I was going to say, nah. All right, yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
And then, I guess.
Also, I'm sorry. I just want to talk about it, though.
Who?
Like, that Jaden Shaw assist should be taught.
Yes.
Like, that should be shown to kids.
She should kind of be a 10, but whatever.
She's a 10. She is a 10. Because
she did that last game,
everything.
Too.
She, exactly. She's done that already this season. I know I say it every week. What a brilliant fucking football player she is. Like, yes. Just the brain on her. Like, okay, I'm done. Like,
If I'm DC, I got a box. We fight.
You gotta burn it down.
Her, Trinity, and Ashley said, oh!
I mean, if I was serious about the World Cup, she'd be on the plane, but that's me.
Hold on now. We're gonna get into that next week.
Okay.
Wink, wink. But I guess, what do we do? Do we talk about Sydney LaRue, or?
We absolutely, let's start with Juneteenth, and I think ending there.
So, yes, Juneteenth, we finally did the Juneteenth lituation pregame for Angel City. We did a street fair. So it's us with Dodge and Ram Skillet on the ones and twos. And we did, I guess, like a 2.5-hour spinning music / podcast recording.
Yeah, it was a really cool program. I mean, I'll always wish it was on a weekend versus Monday. LAFC, we got beef.
We got beef because y'all didn't even win.
I might forgive you because I'm sitting on these tickets, but for right now, we got beef. And that's more messy than you, so whatever.
Right.
But still a really good turnout for Monday. Actually, it's really pleasantly surprised.
It was 17,000.
On a Monday in LA, that's really good. Yes.
When people are graduating, it was really cool.
We had music. There were food trucks there. Obviously not ours, but really good food from what I heard. Nobody bought me anything. I feel away.
Apparently the bread pudding was bomb. Daniel had like this shrimp.
It was like fish and shrimp and chicken. Like, looked so good. Really good food. A lot of us there, which I was really excited to see. We kept getting like love from like the security team and all that stuff. It was great. And then obviously we had our special guest.
Yes.
Simone Charlie and Angela Euclid were kind enough to join us for about 15 minutes or so.
Yeah.
So we got to ask them some really good questions and serious questions about Juneteenth, what it means to them, what it means to be Black in soccer and in sport.
And the importance of community.
We also asked, I thought, a fun question.
Yes.
Reactions were strong.
About grits. Look, I don't care. Y'all can eat what you want to on y'all grits. Like, I mean, it was cool because they, like, roasted me, like, at a Black Clammy reunion.
It was like a cookout.
I was like, and they was cracking joke. Like, ha, ha, ha. Like, it don't matter. I'm on defend my people who were. First of all, let's talk about something. Grits are not cream of wheat. Sugar on grits does not mean cream of wheat. Because grits are a corn-based entity. So cream of corn, like the gluten-free version of the cream of wheat. You can put the sugar on it. Put brown sugar on your thing and put some butter and be blessed. Okay. But I was going to stand up for the people. Because, I mean, a corn is a corn. It's like you can have hot cakes that got blueberry on them.
Okay.
Don't do that. You ain't going to okay me and then try to, like.
I didn't do it.
But no. Because y'all was up there, whatever. But it was dope.
It was a very authentic moment. And apparently I got memed. I didn't know I got memed.
Oh, yeah, you got memed. There is memes of Sills. Also, the playlist is dope.
Yes, it is.
So we got love for the playlist. Going to have to do karaoke, but we had to be careful.
It was dope to see young black and brown kids, but particularly Black girls out and about who play the sport.
Yeah.
For me, I think I've tweeted this. I mean, there were a lot of great moments. There was dancing, people people did Cupid Shuffle and Electric Slide and all that, and the Wobble, all that fun stuff. We bought, listen, I'm an educator, so we made a whiteboard.
I told you it was going to be fire.
For soccer school. So we, you know, were able to explain, you know, 4-3-3 formation and the different positions and what they do. And we had Simone and Angela talk a bit about what a forward does and a midfielder does and what their favorite parts are about playing those positions. And we also got to ask basketball questions. Like, it was really cool. I hope something different than what you're normally used to in terms of interviews. And at some point, we will get that clip, the file, so we can upload those episodes, or the team will, something like that. But yeah, it was just really great. But for me, my favorite moment was as Simone's done, you know, with her interview and leaving the stage, there's like a few black girls and there's one brown girl and they're all adorable. And they're just, the look in their eyes when they're looking at her.
Yeah.
Like, to see somebody that looks like them.
Yeah.
In a sport where they don't get to see it a lot.
Right.
And the way that only children can look at people they idolize, like, that's why we exist, right?
Yeah.
And obviously, we're not necessarily a kid-friendly show. We probably cuss too much for that. But that's why we exist. Like, those moments right there. Because it matters.
Yes.
For one of those kids, that's life-changing.
Yeah. I was going to say, it was kind of dope. Because, like, even... because there were other people, black, brown, walked by. They were taking pictures. They were pictures with the DJs. Because they were like, oh, it's cool to see people that look like us DJing.
Exactly.
So there, I hope we could get that picture that we jumped in. But but yeah, it was cool actually watching them during the soccer school. Crisscross applesauce. Young kids, black kids, adults. You know, we had adults come up to us and go, I didn't even know none of this stuff. Thank y'all for doing that. That's really dope. You know, we had one of our friends came through and she was like, I'm not a sporting person, but she was like, okay, I'll go to a game because this looks real interesting. I learned a lot. So it was pretty cool. We will do it again.
Yeah.
We'll tell you when we do it again. And probably we'll hopefully be able to do this across multiple markets.
But yeah, that's the goal. That's the goal for real.
But yeah, that was like segments coming to life. There will be more. The whiteboard is movable. But yeah, so y'all was...
We got that. I mean, hey, we get our budget up, we might get a fancier whiteboard. If y'all want to sponsor that, holler at us.
Right.
And I ain't letting you off the hook. You owe that little girl a rap one day.
Oh, yeah. The issue was similar to why Angela couldn't hit the freestyle. Okay, wait. So I was going to do karaoke, but like later Angela was like, oh, yeah, she had to be careful because what did the song she was thinking, the Missy Elliott one, you up there trying to go with, you can't do the cuss words. I was like, can't do the freestyle. Because I was like, I don't know how this is going to go. And yeah, they was looking at me like, you go? Oh, yeah, yeah. But I got you. I got you, little homie. We're going to do a little freestyle. We're going to do a little Shea Butter Double Dutch in the future. Next time.
All right. So, but yeah, that was our Juneteenth celebration. And of course, part of why we made it a celebration was at the request of the Black players. And so we hope that we did that justice. And speaking of Black Angel City players.
Wait, before we go there, we shout out to Black Diamonds, the drill team.
Yes, they were great.
Yes, they played, why I say you need stadium equipment in stadiums, SG people across the league, supporter groups, is because of that. They literally were not mic'd up, and you could hear them throughout the whole stadium.
Right.
Because they had the boom, but they were dope. And then Brother Man, dope. Who sang... the Black both National anthems. Anthem.
Yeah, both anthems. So they sang the Black National Anthem and the United States National Anthem. I stood for one and not the other. You take a guess at which is which. But yeah, it was just great to be celebrated. I guess, like you said, I hope the goal is to do that again before the season is over, but more information to come.
Yes. All right, so, now. To the Black player.
Yes. First of all, shout out to quote Sydney LaRouche, shout out to Angel City for keeping their word and celebrating Juneteenth. They had a cool video about midweek from all of the Black players. And then the poster that they had was really great. Like, really great. It's a really good graphic. And I'm not going to lie, every team can't make that graphic. Just put it out there. That's real. And if that makes you mad, talk to your management. That's not a me problem. That's your team's problem. Because they could if they wanted to. So yeah, it was really cool. But part of that, the excitement was the very likelihood that Sydney LaRue would play in this game, that this would be her first game back. Obviously, she did not start, but she was listed on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure everyone's seen it by now. I know she won Player of the Week for NWSL. Subbed in around 70th minute. Like Sky said, almost scored pretty much on her first touch. But Casey Kruger was there. And then did score Angel City's lone goal in the 88th minute on an assist from Alyssa Thompson. And the only other time I've heard that place that loud is the home opener.
Yeah.
I mean, just listen, I know Sailor was born in Canada, but she is a daughter of LA. Like, she's very much LA's child for a myriad of reasons. And it was just a very emotional time, right? I think she's been really honest. She didn't know she would play again.
Yes.
And we saw a lot of footage later too. I think that just made people more emotional. But you know, her thought process was putting the ball on the midfield line so they could try to win, get a point out of the game. But which is always who she's been. But it just was really, really, really amazing to witness live, and the love that people have for her. Even, you know, opposition, you know, there's that clip of Tierna Davis saying, welcome back.
Right. Actually, it was Tierna who cleared the first touch. Because yeah. She was like, wait, what? You ain't supposed to be doing this?
Oh, Tierna, your first that's game? Because they kept dropping Tierna back. Yeah. I gotta say this real quick. Well, I know we're talking about Sydney LaRue. I cannot believe an 18-year-old scares people to the point that while they have the ball in attack in their own 18, in their opponent's 18, Chicago drops Tierna Davidson back to the top of their own 18 because the fear of Alyssa Thompson is there, and they were right because she sure as hell ran with that ball, and Tierna being back there probably saves them from a goal.
Yeah, yeah.
The fear of it, like, that is how Alyssa Thompson affects the game.
Yeah.
That's my point. Okay. But yeah, and so, I mean, Sydney LaRue scored what I would argue is a very Sydney LaRue goal.
Yes.
There are dogs now. I'm not saying there aren't dogs in our younger generation. But they don't make them like that anymore.
They don't make them like that.
That's
a dog. That's the dog that you, like,
actually, I ain't losing.
Yeah, we ain't losing. We winning this game. Like, there were people who would go, well, what happens when Sydney comes back? I'm like, she's starting. They were like, but I was like, have you not watched Sydney LaRue in club and country? Like,
she put in speak for her in that league. Yeah, she's one of the best players ever.
And she gonna drag you and your mama into the box, into the goal. I mean, she drug everybody into the goal. Casey and Alyssa was collectively in the goal when that was done. You know, that's how she is. That's how she always plays. She always gonna be a dog. She's super intelligent. It's like when I told people last year how cool it was. Kristen and Sydney were gonna be on the same team. Like, watching when she was playing for Orlando against Angel City and watching them comparatively, I was like, if they were on the same team, that's gonna be a nightmare. And then it happened. She's super intelligent. Her movement, how she gets to places, how she's trying to put ball in it, how she also can start, like,
Sydney LaRue is a goal scorer, and y'all ain't got a lot of those right now.
Yeah,
like, and that's a goal scorer.
But yeah, it's cool to see her back. There's also the hug that Kristen and Sydney, they longtime homies.
Yeah.
And I think, not that the hug was a reason for this, but I think people have always forgotten this is not just about Angel City being successful as a team to prove a concept of a startup, but it's built on Black superstars. And so, for better or for worse in this country, if it fails, y'all gonna use it as a point to be like, you can't have a Black superstar. Because some of the nonsense, I think both of them have had to navigate really bad injuries, but some of the nonsense and doubting on their character and his play and being players is the wildest shit that if they were white, you would never do that. Similar to people questioning, do you draft Alyssa Thompson? When it's like, you see Alyssa Thompson? You draft that. Trying to question a Black woman in Angela Hercules Nagano, you know, do you draft that? Why did you do that? When it's like, you know, you got to do right, because, like, how you have in leadership and then for who's the face of the team, you know, people use that as a, you know, point.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's always harder when you're Black. Like, there's no way around that.
But it's cool to see, like, the urgency is real, but it's cool to see in the moment of coming back. That was cool. Like, it's always been cool. I think one of the coolest things about being around Angel City, and then even seeing, like, a team like Gotham, too.
Yeah, I was going to say Gotham.
Yeah, with a bunch of black players. Seeing some of the black interactions that you have never historically been able to see because the sportsmen's are white, where you see the hugs and stuff, like, and then that getting captured and you see it on TV. Or, you know, we're at the game and we see things. And it's like, you know, when that happened, I was like, man, did they get the whole segment, whatever? You know, like, being able to see those things. And it's like, see, that's what like, the black community portion is all about. And actually, Angela and Simone talked about that, you know, how it's important to have that kind of community in the soccer space, particularly for how white the sport can be. It's super powerful. But anyway, that's just a thought that had been on my mind.
Yeah, and it's, and again, like you said too, with all of that, and I think that's very real. That's also, they've been friends for a real long, they've been friends since Stanford, UCLA.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, they go back. And yeah, it was just a really good moment to see, and probably will be even sweeter when press comes back and does that. So I'm always here for OGs and people who've put in time, sweat, blood, tears, put their names on things, because that's two people who've also never shied from calling out the bullshit, and they put their name on it before it was cool.
Right.
And paid the price for putting their name on it.
Right.
Yeah, I think there's just a lot of layers there. And so I think just for the sport and for that fan base, and for black people who watch the sport, I'd really like to see that team completely healthy, just to see what's happening there. Because I think they're on to something. They just got to be healthy.
Yeah.
And it's a different way to do it, but different is not always bad. We'll see what it looks like. But speed is a skill. So,
yes. So is shooting, but okay.
Well, that's a, you know how I feel about that. But it was really cool to have her back. And then obviously, Sindaru was the person that did the press conference, and I was able to ask her a question about Juneteenth. And I was very cool and professional. And then I freaked out when I got home, because that is Sindaru.
I was literally like, I was sitting behind
with Cassius and Rue, who
was eating the cookie.
Fucking that cookie up.
Eating the cookie. But no, like, I literally was like, please, Sils, please do not melt down.
I know how to do my job. And I knew no one else was going to ask that question, so I asked it.
I'll talk about what she acknowledged.
I mean, but that was her answering. That's part of her answering the question. That was fine. And here's how I know she's a superstar. We waited 30 or 40 minutes for her to get there.
Yep.
No one left.
Not a single soul.
That's a star. Okay. So yeah, I mean, it was, you know, despite the results for both of our teams, super cool weekend. So yeah, let's get into it.
Oh yeah, you'll hear part of that during this, sometime in this episode. Oh, wait, we're going to take a quick break. You're going to hear pieces of that actual press conference. Oh, jeez. We'll be back.
Hi, Sydney. First of all, congratulations. Hi. Welcome back. My name is Sylvia from Shibar FC.
Yes, and hi.
Hi. Just to pivot a little bit, today's game honored Juneteenth, and so I just wanted to know, what does it mean to you to celebrate Juneteenth, and what did this game mean to you?
Yeah, we're really happy that, you know, Angel City took Juneteenth seriously and gave us, you know, our time and our flowers, and I think that that's really important. Of course, I have two babies, you know, and that means a lot to me. And growing up, I didn't really have, like, us to look up to. So seeing all of us be honored tonight was really cool, because it gives little black girls and boys someone to look up to.
Hey, Sydney, just the rehab, the roll back, how difficult was that? And do you ever think about, you know, maybe not putting it all together for this year, maybe looking ahead to next year or anything different?
Yeah, I didn't really know about the severity of my injury. So when I found out that it's a possibility for me to have to learn how to walk, never mind play soccer again, I was scared. So I feel like I've been scared for a long time. and coming back from an injury, no one really talks about like the mental part and the mental toll that it takes. And there were some really hard times for sure. And I didn't know if I could do this again. And then I was like, well, you know, I had these two and I came back. And so if I can come back from them, I can come back from anything. And that was true. So yeah, I thank them for showing me that I can come back a third time.
And then the process, how recently ago did you start running full? Because we kept asking Freya, is there a timeline? Is there a timeline? And she said soon, soon, soon. But in the back of your mind, when did you know you're ready to get back on the field?
I felt like I was ready months ago, but that's not smart. I just wanted to play. I just wanted to give back, really. I think I came here last year, and there was this big hope around me being able to make a difference in this team, and I was unable to do that. So I think for me it was like giving back to my team, the fans, people who believed in me. But yeah, I started running about 2 months ago. But I was basically non-weight-bearing from September to December. So it was a tough one. It was a tough road.
How does a game like this, after coming back from injury, being able to get a goal, like how does that kind of bring back your confidence?
Yeah, I feel like that's the one thing that I didn't know. Can I come back and be Sydney? And can I cause havoc? And can I be disruptive? And I could, and I did, and that was really special to me. But of course, you know, it's not the result that we wanted. But for me, yeah, I got to prove to myself tonight that I can still do this.
And we're back. Oh, jeez.
Oh my God. You gonna make it?
Mm-hmm. I need water.
Y'all witnessing Sky losing her life on the podcast.
And we're back. Hope you enjoyed the Sydney LaRue interview questions. Yes. But yeah, what are we doing?
What do you want to do first?
I mean, we can. Are these rants?
I have a rant and two rapes.
Okay, then do your rant.
I mean, it might be our collective rant. So Fox Sports dropped their, what are you calling it? Announcement team, media team.
Their poster.
For the World Cup, Women's World Cup.
Yes.
I had to put on shades to look at the poster. I think there are two black women who they lightened within an inch of their lives to mm-hmm. blend.
Mm-hmm.
There are no other people of color, period, that I'd or known people of color, I should say.
Yeah.
Covering the sport. And one of the people covering it, and again, I know he's an employee, but the ginger, who I don't think watches a lot of women's football. I know because once upon a time on national television, he said Rose LaVelle should be a seven. I will never forgive him. You lie, sir. You sit on a throne of lies. I will be watching the Spanish language Telemundo. Broadcast if I am not there in person.
Telemundo.
And I did that for the Men's World Cup, too. So I feel very comfortable doing that. Helps my Spanish, actually. But I think there's clearly a disconnect, and some of that might be intentional on Fox's part. We know how that network in general tends to run. But there's clearly a disconnect.
Yes.
There isn't a whole lot of diversity. And I expect domestic slant, right? We're in the United States. We covered the women's team. I get it. But you were covering an entire tournament.
Right.
You need different footballing perspectives. There is no one from the African continent. There's no one from the South American continent. And I'm pretty sure there's no one from the Asian continent.
Yep.
On that team. There is no varied football perspective. It is all Europe and the United States and Canada. Mm-hmm. You need to put Mexico on there.
Right.
If you want to go CONCACAF, right? I mean, Shirley Cruz just retired. You can make it easier for yourself.
No, they wasn't doing that.
I know. They don't even, I know half of them probably don't know who Shirley Cruz is. That's fine. So yeah, it's just disappointing, but not unexpected. They were thoroughly roasted and deserved, quite frankly. Yes. But just, it speaks to what we've talked about the whole time we've had the show. But even as of last week, like, just the lack of diversity. And shout out to Maggie. We don't just mean Black, though. Certainly, we would like to see more of ourselves on there. But I'm talking Latine. I'm talking AANHPI. I'm talking Native. I'm talking varied countries, varied styles of football. Right. What you value.
Right.
I'm talking gender diversity. I'm talking all of it. And it just doesn't exist. And this is the biggest tournament in women's football.
Right.
So I think that it is incredibly disappointing. And yeah, Fox has more than enough money to do better.
Right. And they're not going to do better. But, yeah.
And right. I don't even think all of them are good at analysis, but okay.
They're not good at analysis. So you're going to have, I'm like, y'all going to be watching some of these games and then not know what you're looking at from the football perspective. Yeah. I can't do it. So tell them who it shall be.
Yeah, tell them who it is.
I guess my rant is, okay, I know some of you teams, okay, some of you teams do not have enough Black players to make no Juneteenth graphic. However, if you are playing, say, if your ass is playing on Juneteenth, you better be doing a Juneteenth celebration since you couldn't figure out how to celebrate during February. Because ain't no way we having SpongeBob night, Health Awareness night, and we not doing no damn Juneteenth celebration. You have got to be kidding me. And if you were Houston, you were near Galveston, Texas, are you not having a Juneteenth something?
It literally started in your area, Houston. It's in your backyard.
You need to be doing celebrations. I don't know what this is. SpongeBob, Juneteenth, figure it out.
That was wild. I was like, you gotta die on the hill that SpongeBob was a Black man now. Like, you gotta die on the hill now.
You know, you don't have Sonic teeth. Do whatever. Like, you gotta figure it out. Like, because everybody else has a Heritage Month. We don't play in season in the month that it happens, so figure it out. Because you can do it for everything else. And you're in largely Black markets. This is crazy to me. Like, most of you teams are in huge Black markets, whether you recognize it or not. And marketing 101, you got to recognize your marketing segments and target markets. So do better, be better. This is ridiculous. All right. Is there anything else?
Are we doing raves?
I mean, actually, we should probably win always. We do hits and riffs.
Okay, let's do hits and riffs. Okay.
You go first.
Okay, so I'll go through these fairly quickly. So I know we're getting close to time. So my old school is getting some.
Wow.
I know. It's not safe for work.
Wow.
That's around your children. By Shauna.
Wow.
And then my old school slow jam, I guess, for lack of a better word. The Arms of the One Who Loves You.
Wow.
Escape.
Okay.
And then you want me to?
Yes.
Okay. And then I have New School is Intimidated. Never say it right. Kitchenada. Did I say it right? Featuring her.
Mm-hmm.
And then my slow jam New School is Find Someone Like You, Snow Allegra.
Okay. The Modern Sade. I'm sorry. That is a running joke from a conversation we had.
Okay.
So, let's see. My old school. I Want to Rock by Uncle Luke.
Oh, wow. You talked about me.
Okay. Oh, I'm going to save that one. I'm going to come back to that song. We going to go. I'm completely old school. Shake What Your Mama Gave You by Poison Clan.
Wow.
The Dip by Freak Nasty.
Wow.
And then It's Your Birthday special edit by Uncle Luke. Actually, oh, it was somebody's birthday. That is a good way to go into. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Let's do it.
It's going to way to get into these raves. So one Courtney Stiff had a birthday. Yeah,
she thought we were going to say that.
She thought. You thought. But no.
One tap for the birthday, bitch.
Hey, hey.
Two tap for the birthday, bitch. Hey.
Day,
yes,
hey,
it was Courtney's
hey.
Birthday on the 7th, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, no, no. It's a birthday week, birthday month. Like, we going to keep talking about it, man. Hey.
Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. But yeah,
I mean, to be fair, it was smoky outside, so she probably did not fuck it up for her birthday. But it won't be this weekend, so
yeah.
Have fun.
So we got you, Courtney. Happy birthday!
Yes, happy birthday.
All right, raves.
Raves. I'm gonna save this one. I'll save the second one. Congrats! We missed this since last time we recorded. But congrats to JC, not Jay-Z. Asasada Swala, Vicky Lopez, and Salma for winning the UWCL title, Champions League.
Mm-hmm.
So shout out to them. And then, I mean, it's my rave. I'm so happy right now, fam.
Can you just say it? Go.
Katarina Macario is a blue for 3 years. Beside myself. With joy.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I'm indifferent.
Episode.
Yeah, they did. They woke up early and did a whole ass episode. What is wrong with y'all?
That's how happy we are.
That is ridiculous. They made a whole 30-minute episode. Go listen to it. By the way,
yes. That
episode, that was a crossover. Guess what we're doing next week?
Hey,
we're doing a crossover.
Crossover.
So you will hear in episode 79, you're going to hear part one of a crossover with Diaspora United.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do I got more raves? Raves to black people. Yes.
Yes, always.
I don't know. Who else?
It's eternal. That's all I got.
Oh, I think Milan won. No, Roma won. I think somebody noted to us that Roma won Serie A Femminile.
Yes, they won.
They won the whole league. So that I don't think we acknowledged that last episode. But other than that, that's it. So shout outs to everybody. Two Sis family. In particular, shout out on our street team. Maya is Kicks Undefined.
There you go.
That's what she's running. My bad. I'm old, and I definitely saw Undefined in my head, and I said Kicks United, and that's my fault. That's an edit. Oops. But Alex, Ebony, Supercario, Nubia, Georgia, JG, shout out to Can I Kick It? Dreaming of Freedom, that is now the MLS Black Podcast. That is now... Well, they are in Miami and they living good, eating good.
Living good. Shout out to Cali, Mr. Insider himself.
Yeah.
With the scoop.
Yes.
Can't go back now, my guy. You famous now.
Yeah, you famous. And then Ford Culture United, Kaya Squire, Walking 90.
Done with year one. Done with year one out. Done.
One closer to being our lawyer. And then the tall folks. Skyscraper, yeah. Deacon Skyscraper, but then also the one and only coach, Girly Pop. Statue of Girly Pop. Courtney Still. And then shout out to our sponsors and patrons, Outpile Sports, Carolyn Nettles, and all y'all. Yes, we have content. So what are we gonna do? We're gonna stay hydrated.
Stay melanated.
Make sure the black women are in your life are celebrated.
And make sure your shea butter bombs are always loaded.
That's it. We'll be back.
Peace out.
Bye.